Martin Luther King would have been 65 tomorrow. Taylor Branch says that Martin Luther King's life is the best and most important metaphor for American history in the post-war years. Branch is the author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book Parting the Waters, America in the King Years. It's both a biography of King and a social history of the civil rights movement. I spoke with him in 1988 when the book was published. The book concludes with these lines. King has crossed over like a patriarch, like Moses, into a land less bounded by race. To keep going, he became a pillar of fire. I asked Branch to elaborate on that.
The title of this book is Parting the Waters, and I'm working on a sequel about the Johnson years entitled Pillar of Fire. What I'm these are both from the book of Exodus, the story of and black culture, black church culture and political culture are heavily influenced by Hebrew history, and which is why I take both of my titles out of Exodus. And of course, the symbolism here is just as the Hebrews passed over out of slavery from Egypt and thought they were going into the Promised Land, so too did the blacks several times, and in this case during the Civil Rights Movement. But instead of going directly into Promised Land, both of them went into the wilderness period, an in-between period that was difficult. And for the Hebrews, according to the book of Exodus, they were guided at night by a pillar of fire that appeared before them. And what I'm suggesting by way of metaphor here for the second book, which is what I'm working on now, is that King literally consumed himself during the period when he went from Nobel Peace Prize winner and someone whose reputation stood high in the entire world, which was a miracle in itself, a great story. But then he became popular. He became rejected by all sides, including the black militants, the white militants, and he got consumed by Vietnam, by blackmail, by the threats over the revelations about his own private life. And this really is King's epiphany, the period when he was a pillar of fire in the sense that he was consumed by his own internal passions. And the greatness of King was that they drove him back down to Memphis, where he died among garbage workers, and that is a real, almost religious epiphany for him during that period to have lit up the world, even though his own life was in such a crucible of destruction.
I have to assume that you've been changed by the experience of researching and writing the book, and I'd like to know what assumptions you had were challenged by the research that you did, by the new things that you learned.
Well, an awful lot of them. I didn't realize that it would take, in effect, learning at least the beginnings of a new language to understand the culture that King grew up in. And I feel stupid for that, because if the Civil Rights Movement didn't taught us one thing, it was that the races were pretty far apart and didn't understand each other, and yet we tended to think that because we passed the Civil Rights Bill, well, gosh, we know everything we need to know, and we're now fully educated, and that wasn't true. I think the biggest thing, though, was to realize, for me, as far as King is concerned, how much pressure he was under from within his own world, and how much of him was defined by his relationship with the students. In many parts of this story, the students are ahead of King, and he knows it, and he's the first to pay tribute to him, and he's in turmoil over it. And when you realize what he was, as a young man, he was kind of a pedant. He was a sweethearted aristocrat. And when you realize how royal and how princely his early life was within his own culture, I respect all the more what he gave up and what he risked to lead a movement that would go to jail, in Birmingham in particular, when the whole movement was literally about to go down the tubes, to make the decision to send second and third graders by the hundreds into jail in Birmingham, which is a rough town. Is an unbelievable decision, and now that I have children, I can appreciate that, but I can't really appreciate what it would have been like to be a black person in Birmingham doing that in 1963. This is a truly, religiously and morally and politically, it is a great upheaval, and it moved me deeply to be to get as close to it as I could in researching this book.
Yeah, you point out that in many ways the students were ahead of King in terms of being willing to go to jail and realizing that the power they would have, the power that they would get in going to jail for acts of civil disobedience. King was for a while reluctant to align himself with the sit-ins, knowing that everyone would be arrested. Why was he initially reluctant?
Well, part of that was because he was a preacher, and he hoped to convert. Preachers are evangelists, and they hope to preach. Segregation is wrong. Racial justice is vital in the world. The world is too small for this kind of prejudice. And King knew all the lines, and he was a genius at preaching. And as an orator alone, he may be the last great classical orator of this century. So with some good reason, he hoped not to have to go to jail. I mean, the preacher's way of doing it is to find a big enough audience, convert people, have them turn away, and change, which is why he was trying to take over his own church to do that, and it was why he was trying to make an alliance with Billy Graham in the 1950s, who was one of his friends. So for him, the notion that oratory alone and that truth wouldn't work and that America would cling to segregation in spite of the truth that he was preaching was very difficult for him. It was like an admission that his profession was a failure or could not work or was ineffective. And the students taught him that sacrifice and drama and going to jail and that sort of thing have greater potency in the world than truth alone and the spoken word. And that was hard for him to admit. Plus the fact that when you grow up with all of his privileges and the acute awareness that middle-class status for blacks is not as secure as it is, we tend to assume for whites, that once you're middle class and secure, you're going to stay that way. For blacks, it had been a long, hard sweat over many generations, and they were acutely aware that with one slip or going to jail or some blot on their record, they could slide back down into the underclass. So both because he wanted so desperately for the ministry to work and because he was personally afraid for the consequences of what would happen, he knew that the road of sacrifice pointed toward not just jail and being beaten and that sort of thing, but for somebody of his stature and his visibility, the possibility of martyrdom. And he spoke about that his entire career.
Taylor Branch is the author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Parting the Waters, America in the King Years. Our interview was recorded after the book's publication in 1988.